The scripture reading is coming from 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let us be hearers and doers of God's word. Amen.
Love lifting me, after which the brother coming his own way to break unto us the bread of life. If you don't have your seatbelts on, you might want to buckle them up, because once he go in flight, there's no turning back. And if you fall off the plane, then that's going to be your fault. So I'm just letting you know. I'm warning you now. You know, this jet gonna take off. Let's all be standing as we sing, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peace for sure. Very deeply standing within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, am I? Even me. Even me, when nothing else could help.
Love lifted
even me. Love lifted even me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. In all my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving, to him belong. Love, even me. Love, even me. When nothing else could help. Love lifted even me. Love lifted even me. When nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Below his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted even me. Love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me. Love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
John chapter 5, verses 39 through 42. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Amen. What a wonderful day it is to be found in God's presence, a day that he set aside that we might indeed come together in his presence and know full well that he is God and we are his people. I want to say good morning to you this morning. And certainly, whether you're a member of this Franklin family or you're a visitor or a virtual guest, I'm grateful that you're here today and grateful that God has granted us yet another opportunity. As the brother said, opportunities we take for granted. But God has brought us another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that be the saints of God. I want to take this time, a few minutes, to thank those that participated in the funeral services on yesterday for our sister Donna Johnson's brother, Kevin. It was a wonderful service, and I think that as a congregation we serve those folks well, for we are people of God and certainly set to love and care for those that God has made his own. Now shortly with my Bible, the book of Hosea, chapter 3. And we're going to park our Bibles right there in Hosea chapter 3. A couple other scriptures we're going to go over. The scriptures won't be on the board, but we're going to park right in Hosea chapter 3 and see if we can glean from God's word over in Hosea chapter 3. And my invitation is for you to join me there as the context for today's lesson. God is love. God is love. Hosea chapter 3. God is love. You know, there are a couple of things that I wonder sometimes, and one of those things is I wonder, what is the barometer for you in your life when it comes to love? And what does that love actually mean to you? What does love say to you? What does love make you do? There are a lot of folks in this world who seem to think that they know what love is, but their practice is so far away from what love actually is. The second thing I want to know is what makes a person feel so bad and so far from God that they feel that they are unloved? There are those that are refused to love and then those that are unloved. What makes a person feel that they are just so far from God that they are unloved? The really doubt is whether God loves them or not. They doubt that all the time. They say things like, you know, I just don't think that God could love somebody like me. Does he? Can God really love somebody like me? Does he really? And there are some who lose their faith in God because they experience an intense pain that they can't reconcile. They can't reconcile that pain with a good God, a God that they say they love. So as a result, they feel that giving up on God is the best thing that they can do. Giving up on love is the best thing that they can do. Anybody in here ever gave up on love? Ever gave up on you just couldn't deal with it any longer. The best thing you can do is just to give up on love. Some of us here today grew up in homes where love wasn't at its premium, love wasn't at its best. Wasn't always love in everybody's home growing up. Your mother may have passed you off on more than one occasion, from grandparent to parent to uncles and nephews, maybe even in foster homes, for her own selfish convenience. Some people, when it comes to love, have been riddled with disease for what seems like forever, and there seems to be no love in their lives because they can't get rid of this disease. God, where are you? Some people have even been labeled as failures. They can't seem to get themselves together, to pull themselves up, to understand that love is really where it's at. Some of you have sworn to be faithful till death do us part. What happened to love? We have sworn to be faithful till death do us part, and yet you have walked away in shameful betrayal. But even if you today don't have a low self-esteem, there are times in your life where most of us are just knocked so breathless. The breath is knocked out of us so hard that we just have to ask the question, Lord, do you even breathe any love into me? Does God really love me? You know, we preach so much about the love of God and about the goodness of God. But there are times when our head might believe it, but that old heart of yours, it has some serious doubts. And it's doubtful because of the way that you live and the example that you set for the world. If you love God, people are going to see that and glorify him as a result of that. There's too much false pretense when it comes to love, loving God, and even love in our own relationships. There's too much false pretense. So what does love actually mean to you? What does it mean? What is it? What does it say? Listen to what Paul said in Romans 8, 38 through 39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing, listen to what he says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. For those of you out there who don't believe that, love is real, Paul said there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You just got to go get it. Got to go get it. We divided on too many things, on too many fronts. But the love of God is not divided, for there is nothing, Paul says. You can actually know that in your mind. You can actually know that the love of God in theory, but in practice is a different matter altogether. Amen. You can actually know that in your mind, but not feel the reality of God's love in your heart, and especially at a time when you desperately need to feel loved. Anybody ever felt the need just to be loved? You felt like it just wasn't there. And you reach and you grasp for it, and it just wasn't there. You know, there was a guy who wrote a song named Theodore Pendergrass. You know what the song was? It's so good loving somebody. You know what I'm talking about. It's a good thing. And I think sometimes God feels that way as well. God pours out his love to us continuously, and yet we are not loving him back, especially when we feel the need to be loved. I want to talk to you from the book of Hosea today, where God gives us a real life example of what his love looks like, what God's love looks like. Hosea chapter 3, we're going to start in verse number 1, and we're going to read through verse number 5. Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, a real life example of what God's love looks like. Hosea 3, 1 through 5. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who looked to other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play with the harlot, nor shall you have a man, so too will I be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. He not only has a message about the love of God, Hosea actually becomes a role model for God. At this particular point in time, Israel has been divided into two kingdoms. And Hosea is one of the only prophets who actually preaches to the northern kingdom. I want to tell you, when the kingdom of Israel split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, they instantly went pagan. They ducked out from God. They just went away. The southern kingdom would go pagan for a while, then they would come out of it. They'd flip-flop. They'd vacillate in and out of fellowship with God, so much so that the southern kingdom lasted for about 150 years longer than the northern kingdom. And here comes Hosea. And God sends Hosea to the northern kingdom, especially to its capital, Samaria. And he sends him to do three things. He sends him to say three things. He goes on to say, number one, you are sinning, and God cares about that. Number two, there's a punishment coming because of your sin, because sin always brings its own consequences. Sin breeds punishment. He says, number three, if you return to me, I'll take you back. Ever been in that situation? Girl, just come on back. If you return to me, I'll take you back, because my love for you has no boundaries, none. And then the Assyrian army came. They came by the thousands upon Samaria. And they could see him on the horizon as he took siege of that city of God. But God loved Israel. He loved Israel. So he was willing to give them one last chance to reciprocate in faithfulness and return to him in repentance. One more chance. And we have the story of Hosea. A life story that's based on the premise that God created each and every one of us for the express purpose, for one express purpose only so he can love you. That's it. You ever witness the look in the eyes of a mother holding a newborn baby? God's love goes beyond that. Because at some point in time, you'll find that mother might not even love that child anymore. God's love never fails. Never fails. He created us for one express purpose only, and that's so he can pour his love out for you and you and for me, and I don't even know how I deserve it. The same God. The same God of love, he judges us. The same God of love even cares about what we do and his chosen relationship to us above all else is that God is our Father. He's our Father. And anything he does for us is akin to what a father would do for a son who he loves as well. And a lot of people will say this phrase, there is nothing that I won't do for you, but it's a lie. Try them and see. Oh, they can say it. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for you. Anybody ever told you that? You turn around looking for them, they're going somewhere else. They ain't. This ain't about gate fixing, amen? So God calls Jose, but doesn't say, I just want you to go to the northern kingdom and just preach about this. God actually says to Hosea, I need you to marry a promiscuous woman. I need you to marry a promiscuous woman so the Israelites will know what it feels like to be their God. How does it feel when you pour your love out to someone and they never give you any love back? You've felt that, haven't you? God says you go and you preach to the Israelites so that they can know what it feels like to not be loved back. No reciprocation of love. What a sad relationship that is. Imagine for a moment. Let's bring it right here. Imagine for one moment what a challenge that would be for any righteous man among us. Any man. Imagine if any man in his congregation got up right now and says, you know what, I'm going out there and I'm going to find me one and I'm going to marry him. We're looking at him. You talking about? It would be a real challenge for us to wrap our minds around a man of God, even your own son. He comes and says, Mama, I'm going out there and I'm going to get that stripper. All right now. And I'm going to marry a known prostitute. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, but that's what Hosea had to do. I want you to understand that. God says, we're not going to just preach it, we're going to live it. Because I want them to know how I feel when they worship Baal and Asherah. I want them to know how I feel when they walk away from me and they stay out till 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning and then come in my door. Not only that, I want you to go a step further. I want you to bear children with her. And each child will be named something that indicates what Israel has done to me in my sight. Each child is going to be named something that shows Israel what they're doing to my heart, to the heart of God. There's going to be Jezreel as a son. Name means God scatters you because of your sins. Then there's a girl born to the union, Lo Ruhamah, and it means I don't love you anymore. Then there's Lo Ami, another son. And it says you are not my people. Annie, can you imagine that? Imagine that. There used to be a phrase out a long time ago, the near future, the distant past, I mean. And I don't know if it's still around, but the phrase used to be, you're dead to me. Y'all remember that one? Why are you dead to me? Because there is no love that's emanating from you to me. I'm pouring my heart out to you, and you're not giving anything back. So as a result of that, you are dead to me. And God's going to scatter you because of your sins. And I don't love you anymore, God says. And you are not my people anymore. What God is saying to Hosea is, listen, I need you to be a real life, flesh and blood illustration of how much it hurts. We've experienced the hurt. We've experienced the pain. We've walked away from it and we've come back to it and we go into it over and over and over again. But the story doesn't end there. Because we're talking about the love of God, the story doesn't end there. Because at the end of the day, God only has one ambition, and that is to love you and you and you. And sometimes it's difficult to love somebody because they won't let you. Am I right? Why won't we let God just love on us? Why do we constantly just push him away? Why do we constantly just walk away from the love of God? He has only one ambition, and that is to love you. So it appears that Gomer, the wife of Hosea, she left after they had their children, and she went back into the streets. Chapter 3, verse number 1. The Lord said to me, "Go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes." What I need you to see here is that God shows his love to the least favorite and unloved person in Israel. That's what I see. And sometimes it might be occasionally, but each one of us has our own reasons to wonder if God even loves me. If your suffering seems to just never end, the question is, does God really love me? And even if your self-esteem is pretty high, if you're honest about your sin, you will come to know that you're just not worthy of God's love. None of us is worthy of God's love. If you're honest with yourself, we're not worthy because you know, and I know my own secret sins, I'm not worthy. But you know what God does? What God says through Hosea is that God loves the unlovable. So much so that it's hard to think, why would he even just love on me? You know, some people get love mixed up with lust all of the time. Their minds get a little bit twisted. You get one kiss, oh, he loved me. Oh, I love him. Oh, one, I got to get another kiss. But then where's the substance of that love? Where is it? Some people get love all twisted. You go on the internet and you go to these dating sites and hey, that's how he looks, right? And you're getting him, he looks like he's not what the picture says. How about that? Some people get love all mixed up. Some people get God all mixed up. But God loves the unlovable. So much so, it's hard to think, why does God even love me? But you know what God said to Hosea? This is what I want you to understand. You know what he said to Hosea? He said, I want you to go and pick the worst one you can find. Go out and get the worst one that you can find so people will know that I'm willing to love all of you, any one of you, no matter who you are or what you do. Go get the worst one, and I'm going to show you love. You bring me your worst self, God says. Bring your worst self to me, and I will show you my best love. So the people will know that I can love you. What God is showing in Hosea's choice of Gomer is that nobody is beyond the reach of a loving God. And that whatever we do, we still have a God who relates to us daily as a father. Chapter 3, verse number 2. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a thick of barley. Isn't it incredible? She's out there selling herself and her husband has to buy her back. Is he any different from any of the other clients? I bought her back for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. And that measure is in the vicinity of about 300 kilos of food. And 15 shekels of silver was about the price of a slave. To put it in perspective, it's about 30 shekels is what Judas betrayed Jesus for. So what God is literally saying here is that you married her, she bore your children, she ran away again, and I want you to go and buy her back. Can you imagine that? God comes for us while our back is to him, walking away from him, and he still pursues us. Because he wants to buy us back from this wretched old world that we're out there just lying with. He comes to buy us back. And the price for that is more than you can ever know. And the truth of the matter is that God pays the price for our unfaithfulness all the time. It's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus died for the world. And better than that, I need you to understand, Jesus died for the world, and better than that, Jesus died for me. For someone who says that they love him and we really don't show it in our lives, in our words, in our perspective, he died for me. Better than that. Yes, he died for the world, but it's all about dying. When you go personal on it, he died for me. He died for you. Not just for sin in general, or the abstract idea or concept of sinfulness, but the one thing that I did, that one thing that I did, Christ died for that. He died for that one sin of mine, even that one sin, listen to me, that I'm harboring and hiding right now. He died for that one too. Where is it at? Get it out your pocket. Lay it on the table before God that he might cleanse you up. He died for that one secret sin that you're harboring even right now. I don't have to know what it is. And frankly, I don't want to know what it is because you don't want to know my sins. He paid the price for my sins and for your sins so that we wouldn't have to. Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, he said, you see at the right time what God did? He said, while we were still powerless, let me tell you what God did. He died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. And the expression of Hosea is this, is that we, you and me, we are not good enough for God. But you know what he did? He rendered that a moot point by paying the price for our sins in the person of Jesus Christ. And while we were yet sinners, he died. He died. Chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way towards you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. The point is this, that God loves me enough to discipline me. He does, to discipline me. And I got to tell you that discipline while raising two children was challenging at best. I don't want to go back to have to do that ever again. But it was the most loving thing that we ever did. I got to tell you that. The easy and unloving thing would be to just let it slide. Just go and do what you want to do, kids. You know we love you. You know what discipline does? Discipline out of love, it crafts your children. It crafts you to become what God has designed for you to become in his church. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6 says this. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father, addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. What you saying, Brother Collins? Discipline is a form of encouragement, and God will use it simply because he loves you. He's going to use it because he loves you. Look what Jeremiah had to say about that in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 17 through 19. Jeremiah 32, 17 through 19. He says, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show love to thousands, but bring the punishment for the parents' sins into the laps of their children after them. Great and almighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to the ways of all mankind, and you reward each person according to their conduct as their deeds deserve. And the Hebrew writer in the New Testament, spinning off of Jeremiah, he said it this way, Hebrews 12:10, but God disciplines us for our own good in order that we might share in his holiness. You be holy because I'm holy. He disciplines us for our good that we might be a holy people. Discipline is a form of encouragement. It's the ultimate when it comes to love. And that's what's going on in the story of Hosea and Gomer. That's what God does for us as a result of his love. But it requires that we close some chapters in our lives. It requires that we close some chapters in our lives. We continue too much in our lives with the same old thing over and over again and bring God along for the ride. We've got to close some chapters in our lives. Bitterness, envy, gossip, lying. We've got to close some chapters. Throughout the book of Hosea, we are called to return to the Lord and repent. Throughout the whole book, you can read it. It's just riddled with the call of God for us to repent. Hosea chapter 3, verse number 5. You still got your Bibles? Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. God offers us hope. God's love offers us hope. And God's love always offers us an afterward. So when you come to the end of your life, it's only a preface of an eternal life with Christ Jesus in heaven. It's only a prelude to what we're going to have and how we're going to live after this life. There is always an afterwards for the people of God. Always, always. But here's the kicker. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's the love of God right here, right now. Listen to this. Open your Bibles. Go back one chapter to Hosea chapter 2. I want you to get this one. Hosea chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse number 14. Listen to God. Listen to his love. He says, therefore, I'm now going to allure her. Oh, I love her so much. She's out there in the streets, but you know what? I'm going to go to her, and I'm going to whisper softly in her ear because I love her. He says, I'm going to allure her. I'm going to bring her back, and I'm going to grab her by the hand, and I'm going to lead her into the wilderness, and I'm going to speak tenderly to her. I love you. I'm not done with you. I forgive you. I'm not done. Anybody ever did that for you? Anybody ever just forgiven the egregious things that you've done and you know you've been forgiven? And it was all out of love. He says, I'm going back to get her because I love her. I'm going to lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And I will give her back her vineyards. She's going to be prosperous. And I will give her a door of hope. She will respond as in the days of her youth. You're going to respond to me like the day we got married. Any husband and wife ever do that now? Where's the love at? You ever respond to your husband the way that you did when you first got married to your wife? Just a touch of the hand sometimes can spark that if the love is there. You ever looked her in the eyes and knew that the love was there? He says, I love you, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to bring you back. But we're not God. Let somebody step on us and see what happens. I'm not going to get her back. I'm not going to get him back. You got to get out. You got to go live with the one that... He says, I want you to respond to me when I come for you, like the day we got married. Can you remember that? Can you remember that love? Oh, it was all so pure and all so innocent. But it was love at its best. And that love, it pales in comparison to the love that you've built up over the years. So that's how it ought to be. Your love should have gotten stronger. It should have been built even stronger from the day that you looked at her or the day you looked at him, even till now. And the touch of the hand, it just does something for you, doesn't it? Oh, man. Looking her in the eyes, amen? It's about love. She's going to respond to you like the day you got married. All of us who are Christians were baptized into Christ. We were married to Christ. You know where I'm going. And when you look God into the eyes, do you respond to God the day like the day you were just married to him? Oh, he looks at you that way. We are the bride of Christ. And he looks at us with nothing but love. That's all he's got for us. He looks in our eyes and he looks into our souls, he looks into our hearts, and there's nothing there but love, but love. So the flip side of that is, how do you look at God? Hey, that's my wife over there. That's my husband over there. Not even concerned with holding hands as you walking together anymore. Not concerned with walking side by side as you live anymore. One's in the front, one's walking in the back. God wants us to walk side by side. Side by side. Hosea chapter 2, verses number 16, and then we'll read 19 and 20. Listen to God. In that day, declares the Lord, after he comes to get you back and whispers in your ear and grabs you by the hand and leads you into the wilderness, he says, in that day, you will call me my husband. No longer will you call me master. I will marry you forever. I will marry you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will marry you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. Chapter 2, verses 23, he continues. He says, I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one. Listen to this. I'm going to show my love to the one I call not my loved one. You can get my love back. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. You can come back. And they will say, you are my God. Isn't that incredible? All the stuff you've done to me, all the stuff you've thought about me, I'm coming to get you. And I'm going to change your name. You are my people. And I am your God. Isn't God's love amazing? It is amazing. I'm not God, and I could never have done that. Because I know who I am and what my sin is. What it tempts me to do. Oh, inside of all of us, we have a lot of goodness, but we have a lot of sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of his love, Jesus Christ, it cleanses us up and it takes away the dark spaces in our lives. It takes away the fact that we walk around angry all the time as Christians. It takes away the fact that we walk around all the time with thoughts in our minds that are not godly. It takes away the fact that when we come to church on a Sunday morning, that our minds are not focused on meeting God. It's just coming to church. God's love is amazing. It's a love that never gives up. It's a love that never ends. It's a love that keeps no record of wrongs. Isn't that incredible? It's a love that keeps no... Man, look, sometimes I talk to my wife and she go all the way back there to 1960. I wasn't even born yet. But she don't hold it against me. She just mentioned it in passing. I mean, I just want you to know that, boy. All right, I got you. I got you. It's a love that never ends. And none of you, listen to me, none of you are beyond the love of God. Don't ever think that you've done so badly that God is going to declare that you are unlovable. And none of us are so far away from God that we can't come back and say, God, I know you love me, even in spite of myself. Get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. God, I know. Come back and just say, God, I know you love me, even in spite of myself. And ask him that question because he's waiting to say yes. The question is, will you be my God again? Will you love me again? God, will you just love? He never stopped. So again, it's just off the table. He never stopped. And there's nothing that you can do, Paul says. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even on our worst day. Don't do it. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that, you know, a lot of folks said that you can't see Jesus in the Old Testament, you know, but let me tell you about this book of love right here, this book of Hosea. I'm going to show you the love of God. We all know what John 3:16 says, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Watch this in Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. It's tucked away in there. Just tucked away. The gospel is tucked away right here. Look what he says. Hosea 6, 1 and 2. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has disciplined us, but he's going to make us better. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. He's going to clean us up and heal us. Listen to the gospel right here. After 2 days, Hosea says, he will revive us. On the third day, you see it? Oh, isn't God great? On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Talk about the love of God. After 2 days, we've got a revival. And on the third day, here comes the restoration of God. He's coming to get you because he loves you. He's coming to whisper in your ear because he loves you. He's coming to take you by the hand and lead you in the wilderness where you might be his bride all over again. God is love. Amen. God is love. In 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God. A lot of folks don't know God because they don't even know what love is. Talk about the love of God, but they don't love. They don't know. Because God is love. Love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, John says. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for my sins. There's a song that we sing sometimes around the communion table, and it says, why did my Savior come to earth and through the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loves me so. Open your heart to the love of God this morning. Because he loves me so. There are those in the audience, there are those on the sound of my voice that don't even know the love of God, have never experienced it. And there are those of you who've come to taste how good the love of God is, and you've walked away from it. But we've got to hear the word of God. Romans 10, 16 and 17 says, you know, they've not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah said, Lord, who's believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. He says, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 and 6. For those that are going to come to God, will first of all, believe that he is and rewards those that diligently seek him. We got to hear God because he's whispering. We got to believe what he says to us. We've got to repent of our sins. In Acts 17, 30 and 31, Paul says, at times of ignorance, God winked at it. But he commands men all everywhere today, all men to repent, because there's a day that's appointed where he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. That's Jesus Christ. And he's given us assurance of that by raising Christ from the dead. Got to repent. We got to confess Christ as well. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mark 16, 15, and 16. Here's where the love of God is consummated, in that watery grave of baptism. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes in him and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that God is love. Embrace it. Live it. Love him, because that's all he asks for. We can't love him unconditionally like he loves us, because there's too much sin that rules our lives. But his love is magnified through his darling son, Jesus Christ. Let's live in Christ. Let's live for God. Let's love God, because God is love. If we can help you this morning, why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
Whether you one day respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, will you come and bathe in his love? Will you come and be a part of the kingdom that is
His
that he died and purchased with his own blood?
Living.
Will you surrender? Will you come?
I surrender all.
When do you want to respond to the gospel? Will you come?
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.